Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I grew up loving these films when I was a kid, and I really, really liked Danielle. She was in like Wish Upon a Star. There was like this Disney movie that she did with, who's the blonde chick that got fired from Grey's Anatomy?
Ellen Burstyn? No.
No. Ellen Burstyn?
Ellen Pompeo?
No. No. The one that got fired.
Oh, Kristen.
My Father the Hero. Remember that? What was her fucking name?
Kristen Chenoweth? It's a white lady.
It's not a white lady. Y'all know what we're talking about.
Welcome to Scream Queen, a podcast about scary movies
from people not typically depicted in scary movies.
And today we've got some hunky boys for you. We're gonna introduce a new segment called Bitch, That's My Part Though, where we recast classic horror films and or roles with people of color who are not normally in these films. And we're going to finish you off with a little Halloween scream.
Okay, well, I don't know what that was. trying out new things.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm versatile. No, I'm not. I'm a bottom.
All right, start us off.
So when Drea and I were getting together with the new series, with this new season, we were talking about other segments we could possibly use in reviving our three-act show. And we thought about this one called Bitch, That's My Part, though, where we recast roles in films, iconic Scream Queens, etc., with people of color. Now, by the time this show comes out, I'm sure you will have seen the show that I worked on, Reservation Dogs. I'm super proud of. I was a staff writer on there. Our showrunners were Sterling Harjo, co-created by Taika Waititi. Also in the room was Migsie Pinsano, Bobby Wilson, Sydney Freeland, and Taz Rose Chavez. Now what we've got now is a world of indigenous characters that people didn't really see us in films and television. They didn't really think that we could carry them. They didn't really think that, you know, indigenous people could sell. And we proved them wrong, 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And I talked to Dre about maybe let's look at recasting Scream, but with the actors in Reservation Dogs. Initially, I wanted Paulina Alexis to play Sydney, but then Drea corrected me swiftly because Devery Jacobs as Alora Dannon does give me more Sydney vibes than Willie Jack. But then Drea said that maybe the actress Paulina who plays Willie Jack would be a Tatum and actually survive, which I believe because that bitch would have fit through the doggy door.
Mm-hmm. She wouldn't have even gone through that doggy door.
No.
It would have just worked out so much better.
And then would Bear, the guy who plays Bear, whose name is DeFaro, would he be Skeet's character?
I could see that.
Yeah?
Sure. Mm. Who's Jamie Kennedy?
I think that's Cheese. That's lame.
Cheese, yeah,
because he's kind of nerdy.
Yeah, that's Cheese.
So either Bear is Skeet or he's, what's his name? Stu.
He's not Stu.
So he's not goofy like that.
But I don't really see him as like
a murderer.
Yeah, or confused, like, I guess he is a little lost and confused puppy. Yeah, okay, no, that's him. He's
okay. Then we would have Zahn McLaren, who plays the cop. Mm-hmm. He would be Dewey.
Deputy Dewey.
And then Sarah Padamsky, she plays Rita. I guess she would be Courtney Cox's character.
Mm-hmm. What's her
Gale
name?
Gale Weathers.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then we would maybe have Kirk Fox as her dad in a cameo in the closet, taped up, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry.
I think also Devery as Sydney, because she kind of in
she just has the vibe.
She has that brooding vibe, right? Yeah. She's like wounded. She's seen some things.
She's strong.
Yeah.
She doesn't take any shit. But she's not like loud like Tatum, you mm-hmm, know, or like mm-hmm, that mm-hmm, rambunctious, mm-hmm. you know? And Willie Jack has that energy. She's crafty.
And she can
sort out some shit. Yeah. So.
Here's the thing about Willie Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I fully trust and believe that if some shit was going down and people were winding up dead, she would go into a garage by herself at a party. You know what I mean? She would be like, bitch, come with me.
Yeah, they wouldn't split up. A lot of deaths just wouldn't happen, mm-hmm. you know, because they would know to stick together.
Yeah.
Sydney and Tatum would be together. And they would have figured out Skeet and Stu their shit a long time ago.
I have so much joy imagining this world of Scream as the characters from Reservation Dogs.
No, I can see it.
Let me just get Sterling on the phone. Give me get Sterling and Tyke on the phone and be like, listen, we have to do a remake. Have you been keeping up on Scream 5 gossip or previews or YouTube leaks or anything like that?
I mean, I know it's... They're done with it. It's in the can. It's mm-hmm. ready to be shown to the public. So I'm waiting.
Do you think they're going to kill Sydney?
I mean, it could happen. Anything's possible. Maybe that's how she wants to go out. But I don't think they're going to kill off. I don't think that would be a good move to kill her off. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis got killed off and then she came back.
Right. Halloween H2O isn't canon.
Yeah.
At this point.
I fucks with some Halloween H2O.
I love Halloween H2O. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it came around in that era of like the late 90s slashers. Like it was like the resurgence of them. I fuck with Halloween
H2O. I know you
H2O.
Do. I'm just saying. But yeah, even Jamie was like, no, I ain't done yet. I think we made a mistake.
All right. Well, that's the rendering of the cast of Reservation Dogs in our review of Scream.
I hope that actually comes to fruition.
Let's make it happen. Okay. I think by our powers combined. All right, Drea.
Psycho Goreman.
Was this the first movie you saw post-pandemic in theater? Because you saw it in the drive-in, right?
I saw it at a drive-in theater, or a drive-in screen, I should say. There's only a few drive-ins left in California. One of them happens to be in my old neighborhood in San Diego. So, yeah, I forced my parents to take me to watch it with me, I should say.
Drea, honestly, what do your parents think of scary movies?
I mean, they could take it or leave it. My mom likes a certain type of horror film, and my dad doesn't like any of them, but he'll fuck around with it. He'll at least appease me and sit down and just, you know, and pretend like he can tolerate it. But no, it's not his cup of tea at the end of the day.
What does your dad like to watch?
Antiques Roadshow. I'm just kidding. No, like American Restoration, and like he likes a lot of stuff. He likes a lot of Navy diving shit, and he also likes a lot of like kung fu and stuff like that. Like all that shit. He deals with such heavy shit. He doesn't want to focus on like violence and things like that. So I get it.
What did they think of Psycho Goreman?
They thought it was fucking stupid as hell.
I mean, it is goofy.
It's very goofy. But it's wonderful. But, you know, they, as my parents, they appeased, you know, what I needed, and I appreciate them for that. I didn't want to see it by myself. I wanted them to be there. So, yeah, we got some Popeye's chicken and some White Claws and did that shit. And, the film is, it's fucking amazing. It's like everything I've ever wanted. Anybody that like truly loves B-horror movies from the 80s and 90s, this movie, like, this is a person who is a fan of those types of films. The practical effects are so on point. The costumes and the makeup are so good. And, like, it just has that Killer Clowns from Outer Space type of vibes, street trash vibes, even, like, Power Rangers. And then, you know, I also picked up on, you know, they're very much like Deadites or from like Evil Dead. Like that's that whole, there's just a mass amount of blood in this movie and it's fun. Like it's basically like this Psycho Goreman or the Archduke of Nightmares comes from planet Gygax. And
And I'm out.
He lands. So after a lifetime of being a slave on this planet, he discovers this stone that gives him the power to conquer these people that have been running his people.
The Templars.
And what ends up happening is he doesn't just kill the Templars. He kills everybody. And he starts dominating every fucking planet because he can't control himself. One day they do finally capture his ass. And they lock him away. So you fast forward to we're on planet Earth and somehow that stone is in a backyard of these kids' backyard.
That gave me the gate vibes.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. Very much. So we meet Mimi and Owen. And also Mimi's real name is Nita, which I love. Even though Tommy didn't like this character.
I find children to be annoying.
She's a lot. But I really like that they allow... Typically, the character of Mimi would be played by a boy. Like, he would be picking on people and being a piece of shit to his little sister or something like that, something along those lines. But the fact that they put a little girl in that role, picking on her older brother, is really fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of myself.
It does remind me of you.
Oh, thank you. So they find the stone which controls Psycho Gorman. Also, they give him that name. They have a whole like little powwow and they come up with the name for him. And they don't take him seriously at all.
But they also like just call him PG.
Well, PG for short.
Yeah.
Yeah. And prior to that, he's already killed three bums. He he blew up two heads and he put one in another bum in suspended animation.
Mm-hmm.
It's bloody and it looks really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then they find his ass. They leave him there with like some porno mags and shit. He's like, what do I want with this? She goes, there's like hunky boys in there. He goes, I don't need anything with hunky boys. Or do I like hunky boys?
If you Google Psycho Gorman, the first thing that fills in, that autofills, is Psycho Gorman Hunky Boys. Yep. Establishing Psycho Gorman as a gay icon.
He's a gay icon. He's a queer character, like a very refreshing queer character.
Queer the Conqueror,
oh,
yes.
Oh, Lord. He's got a lot of pent-up feelings, and it's coming out and a little aggressive.
Mm-hmm. He's just come off a little aggressive, gotta say.
Just a tiny bit.
Conquering worlds. And that ass.
I'll tell you, one of the nastiest scenes in the movie wasn't even a kill. It was when the dad cooked chicken in the microwave. That was so fucking nasty. Also, Greg, what a piece of shit. I also kind of liked how you could see the parallels between the parents and the kids. Like, Mimi and Greg were very much alike.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked that they invested that much time into the story to kind of show the community within this family, you know, like who they are as people.
Yeah.
And I thought all those characters did a fantastic job, by the way. It felt like I was watching a film from the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I really felt like I was watching.
They did a very good job at annoying me. All of them.
Poor little Alistair.
Ew!
He gets turned into a brain with tentacles. And I love that. It's just nonsensical. Nobody questions it.
He just is.
And he's walking around with them in the neighborhood and nobody's freaking out at that. All of a sudden, there's like a couple of cops who show up and they're like, wait a second, you're out of place, even though you're wearing cargo pants and a button up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you just accept these things because it is intentional. That's the difference. You know, in certain films, you find yourself laughing at things, but it's not always intentional.
Yeah. It was absurd.
Yeah.
And intentionally absurd. And I think it played with that absurdity well. It's not a terrestrial film. Like, it's far-flung. There's galaxies, there's worlds, there's concrete. And it also doesn't attempt to sanitize itself. It's just like, I'm going to be weird and gross.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right.
All the people playing those characters, like, they were committed to it. So I bought it on Apple TV, and it comes with extras. And I do recommend getting it because the extras are fucking hilarious. And they had an interview with one of the characters who was, like, part of, like, the Tribunal Council up in space.
Mm-hmm.
I think his name was, like, Gore-Tex or something. And he's, like, Pandora's right-hand man. They ask him all these questions, and he just, like, answers them as the character. And it is so fucking funny. It gave me, like, What We Do in the Shadows kind of vibes. Like, mm-hmm. It was that level of funny.
Yeah.
Like, Matthew Berry kind of funny.
I mean, traditionally, I think we'd be positioned to think of Psycho Gorman as the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
But then you learn about the Templar.
Yeah.
And he's Pandora. Actually... And they're such self-righteous, uh-huh. like, colonizers.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute. So Psycho Gorman is the hero.
Yeah. He was, again, oppressed. He suffered a lifetime of abuse. And really what you're watching, it's a love story. The family has to learn to love one another again. And they're all learning from one another. PG's learning from them and they're learning from PG. And PG's learning, like, what all his feelings are. And so, yeah, he's not a villain, like, whatsoever.
It kind of struck me as similar to, although not necessarily analogous to, Resident Alien. Mm-hmm. How that alien comes to value Asta 12 Trees as, like, a friend. And he goes from being, like, a psychotic alien to, like, being the savior of the human race. Except, like, Psycho Gorman, he does make friends with Mimi, mm-hmm. but then he's like, I'm still going to destroy your planet, though. And yeah. She's like, all right, that's fine.
It's cool. As long as we're good. Also, when you watch it, if you watch the end, when it's like a giant purple monster is, you know, killing people, on the news stream, like the bar that goes across the bottom of the screen, it says, bystanders say he's dickless and terrible. Because he doesn't have a dick.
Not a detail was spared. I guess he's the bottom then, if he's about those hunky boys.
Mm-hmm. I also love the advice that dad gave to his daughter. He's like, when I was a kid, I met this dude and he had a weird, creepy van. And he said, you want to come look at my baseball cards? And I went into that van and it was the best thing I ever did. No. Because what I'm saying is, trust your weird, murdery friend.
That's bad advice. Bad advice.
I love that. And I think one of the most badass scenes was when Mimi prayed to the crucifix and then she picked it up and broke it over her knee.
Actually, I applauded that. I mean, you know, because that character tended to annoy me. But every now and then I was like, I see you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, she knew she was doing the most. And she did torture her brother, her poor little brother.
And she did cause the destruction of the world, but...
Hey, what do you
mean? She ushered it in. She didn't do it herself.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't put it all on her.
I liked that spin. It's sort of nihilistic and very 2020 to be like, let the world burn. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, that is our version of the happy ending, which is like, I'm cool. Okay, yeah, do what you do over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very much, you know, we're all, at least me and you in this room, we are very much in a you stay the fuck over there until things settle down.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave me be.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also just shout out one more of the deaths. The warrior's death is the best death in the fucking movie.
Oh, God.
And when he kills the Legion of the Dark in the woods, they show up like Power Ranger style, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And then they turn on him. They think they're about to, you know, get his ass, but then he pulls out He puts a spanking on him, and then he does the warrior's death to homeboy, and that shit is fucked up.
He eats them.
Yeah, but it's like his entire jaw like becomes like as massive as his body, and then he just like devours. And it just like, it's like a giant trash compactor, and he just devours. It's
that
really
was foul.
It's
that
really
was
cool.
Foul.
I like it a lot.
And he...
He also ate food like that when he eats food in the diner. Dislocates his jaw, basically.
I thought it was cool when he fights the Templar at the end, how he kind of makes a weapon out of her bones or out of her armor, or
it was, that is part of her body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why all that blood was coming off. So yeah, he made a sword out of her body parts.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It was awesome.
Also, yeah. The Mimi's mom becomes a Templar for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Which was interesting. I was like, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, you know, I got it. Because, you know, she needed to kind of go rage out on Greg. And then at the end, she needed to protect everybody.
It was a good time. And especially at that time in the pandemic, it was November, October, December, somewhere around the end of 2020. And it was just like a night. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Nonsensical, absurd, totally batshit, well-deserved and appreciated.
Psycho Gorman.
Take a look.
Our Scream Queen of the Week is Miss Danielle Harris in Halloween 4 and 5. So I grew up loving these films when I was a kid, and I really, really liked Danielle. She was in like Wish Upon a Star. There was like this Disney movie that she did with, who's the blonde chick that got fired from Grey's Anatomy?
Ellen Burstyn? No.
No. Ellen Burstyn?
Ellen Pompeo?
No. No. The one that got fired.
Kristen,
my father, the hero. Remember that? What was her fucking name?
Kristen Chenoweth? It's a white lady.
It's that white lady. Y'all know what we talk about. But anyway, Danielle Harris plays Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter. It takes place a few years after the murders in part one and two. So Danielle plays Jamie, and she is Laurie Strode's daughter. Mm-hmm. And Laurie Strode is in a mental hospital, we're to believe. And basically, I love this little girl. And upon watching these films again, I watch them like every few years. Mm-hmm. She was just really traumatized. And I think she deserves like a shout out just because they brutalized this little
girl.
They
really did. And she also, she had like some kind of psychic bond.
She had a psychic bond to her uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were going to take that further. And if you notice in the last Halloween film, it takes from most of part five. Mm-hmm. Like there's whole scenes that are in the new Halloween film that are taken from that. Like when they're in the barn and there's a whole bunch of shit.
The remake or the new ones with Jamie Lee Curtis?
The new ones with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, okay.
The one that Danny McBride just mm-hmm. did, that one. Oh, also Donald Pleasance is back and we love us some Donald Pleasance. And his dramatic ass.
He really can't. He reminds me of Orson Welles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his, like, delivery. It's
yes,
like,
yes.
Very formal.
Yes. It's Halloween time, and he already knows what's about to happen. Anniversary's coming up, and he's like, this motherfucker's about to break out. Mm-hmm. And I got to be ready, because you motherfuckers are going to lose him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time he's getting transported from a damn hospital, some kind of way.
We know this.
Every time. So, his ass gets out, gets away. He fucks up a bunch of people on the way to the town. What's the town that he always goes back to? Haydenville or?
Hampton.
Yippee-doo-boo.
Hampton.
The Hamptons?
Is it the Hamptons?
Is it Fire Island?
It's Cherry Grove, yeah.
yeah, Haydenfield. So he's back and little Jamie suspects he's there immediately. Like she already knows. They don't really give her a lot to do in the first film. She really comes to life in the fifth film.
She's just a witness.
She's a witness to everything. And she's watching it all go down. And it's the way the part four even ends is just like, that's fucked up. And if I'd seen that in the theaters and I had to wait a year, that would have made me so mad. Because part four is just rude.
Yeah.
And then part five picks up right where part four ends. And Michael Myers, after getting blown up and shot a bajillion times, he crawls away.
As he does.
Yes, and floats down a river. And then he gets taken care of by some weird hobo who, like, he, like, takes care of him for some fucking reason.
Love.
Yeah, it's all love. Right in the very beginning, the blonde chick, they kill her in the first, like, 10 minutes. It's not nice. I mean, you think maybe she's going to survive. Because you only see her get stabbed, like, kind of in the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And you never see her again until the end of the film where you're like, oh, no, this bitch is dead. And that stab did kill her.
That's kind of reminiscent of, correct me if I'm wrong, you would know. But in the second Friday the 13th, that woman who made it all the way to the end gets killed in the very beginning.
Yes. Yeah, just like that.
Which is just a brutal thing to do to a scream queen. She made it all the way through.
And why are you going to do that?
You're going to take her out in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that's misogyny.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just people taking out their anger just via script.
I feel very close to this character as a child as well. I think because anytime you're little and there's like the child in the film, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I fucks with this person. Mm-hmm. And I did feel like Danielle Harris's character in that was really just as an avatar to the viewer. Like we've seen Michael Myers kill all these people. So in a weird way, she kind of taps into the viewer's eye because she sees him committing all of these crimes. And it's like, we as the viewer do that. We have done that for three movies and now we're getting into this fourth and this fifth one. I thought it was a good way to revitalize the franchise.
Yeah.
Because she is connected to Laurie Strode, but this isn't like the Laurie Strode Chronicles.
No, it's her own new chapter. And I really wish they would have taken it further. Also in the fifth one, she's so traumatized, she doesn't speak anymore, mm-hmm. which is fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, just what more can you do to this child?
Mm. Put her in a clown outfit.
They put her in that original clown outfit from the first movie, which is really fucked up again. And yeah, she gets picked on by everybody. The cops don't believe her. Nobody believes her. And she's just like, but he killed people last time, right? I told you this shit was going to happen and it happened.
Yeah.
I'm telling you it's going to happen again, but you guys are saying, no, not this time.
It's, I think, a nice innovation of the Cassandra complex, which is like this ancient Greek tale of the woman who could tell the future, but nobody believed her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's kind of what she is in this movie. Like she's, nobody believes her, but she knows what's going on. She has this like extrasensory ability.
Her and Donald. She doesn't want to help, and he makes her help in the end. He's like, you see what almost happened to your friend? Ultimately, yeah. I mean, I feel like they did her really wrong, but I thought she did such a great job in her character.
She also did the remake. She was in the remake.
Yeah, she was like a nurse or something in it, yeah. In the Rob Zombie one.
But she was also, I want to say also notably, in a movie that I unexpectedly liked, which was Stakeland. It's like a vampire movie, and it's like post-apocalyptic, and she's like one of the last human survivors. And I found it oddly compelling. She's also in like the Hatchet series. Mm-hmm. So Danielle Harris, in addition to playing this role, is somewhat of a scream queen in general.
Yeah, but she's just wonderful. So shout out to Danielle Harris. We see you.
Yeah, we see you. We want to see more.
Thank you for listening to Scream Queen. We are produced by Kenya and Alex at Domino Sound. I am Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, HeyTeebs on Instagram because I deleted Twitter.
And this is Drea Washington. You can find me at Hey Girl Hey. That's HeyGrlHey on the gram.
And in the scary movie of your life,
you better
scream, Queen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.